The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
I can't imagine what it feels like to wake up and know that you're $258 million richer, 150 of which is guaranteed. But that is what it's like to be Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills today, as the young quarterback signs a six-year contract extension, works out to be about $43 million annually. So what's it mean for everybody else? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I obviously am not Max Kellerman. I'm Jason Fitz filling in. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Also, be sure to hang out with me on Spain and Fitz tonight and every weeknight from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. So as we look at what all of this means, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys can chime in on the conversation. I'm never afraid to make it interactive. But to me, I keep looking at this and thinking the market's now been set. Now, it's easy to say whoever is up next sets the market. That's the way it works most of the time in the NFL. And what we mean by that is essentially if you're a running back and you're the highest paid running back in the NFL, the next really great running back doesn't necessarily have to be better. They're just next up. And that means that, you know, the way inflations and contracts seem to work, that guy gets paid the highest at his position, right? That's just sort of what happens. If you're the best defensive tackle in the league, you're up for contract extension and you get mega paid. Well, a couple years later, you might not be the best, but you're the best currently that's up for a contract extension, and suddenly, bam, you're getting paid. That's the way it seems to work constantly. So we expect that at the quarterback position, but I don't think that's what happens anymore, specifically at this one position. Because I would argue, as I talked to Mike Tannenbaum earlier last hour, that Patrick Mahomes actually put a ceiling on the value of the quarterback position. Now everything becomes, look, if you're Josh Allen, if you're Josh Allen's agent, like, you just got to put yourself shoes on the other foot game. I love playing this. Imagine what the negotiation is like. You come in and you say, all right, Buffalo, we would like to negotiate for a new contract, and we want Josh to get paid at an alarming rate. And the Bills say, well, he's no Mahomes. And everybody in the room says, yeah, you're right, but what else can we do? Like, that's just one of the things that we can't really argue right now. There's clearly a best young quarterback in the league, and it's Patrick Mahomes. So whereas we usually look at every one of these contracts and say, what's it mean for the next guy? They're going to get even more. I would argue that what we've seen now is the ceiling for the next few years on what average annual value can look like. We've seen the ceiling on what total contract value can look like. It should be noted, according to reports, and we're very early in this process, but according to reports, it certainly looks like, when you just talk about the guarantees, according to Adam Schefter, there's $150 million guaranteed in Josh Allen's extension. That would surpass Patrick Mahomes for the most in a single contract, as Mahomes got $141 million in guarantees. So maybe that's the sort of spin that you can say, hey, the market's changed and we want more guaranteed money. But when it comes to average annual value, I don't think anybody can really pass where Mahomes is. So what's happened from this deal is, I will tell you, I believe that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills have now told us exactly what the new quarterback market is. You could argue Dak may have done that with his contract, but I'd say that's a little different. Not just because Dak was a later draft pick, but also because Dak played for the Cowboys. And because that process took so long and everybody looks at it and says, yeah, but you played for the Cowboys. Should you take a discount? Should you not take a discount? How are they going to get this done? You could create variables in a negotiation where the agent or the team could say, that's different, it's Dallas. Or this is different, it's Dallas. Either way, I can find that path. I can't find a path when it comes to Buffalo. As we addressed earlier, and I think is important to note here, Forbes did their franchise valuation, and the average NFL team is up 14% even in a COVID world. But the least valued franchise, according to Forbes, the team that is worth the least amount of money is the Buffalo Bills. The team that has the least sort of cachet when it comes to what we're worth, Buffalo Bills. That's part of why they are looking for a new stadium. That's part of why they're starting to have conversations about how to increase those profits, right? That's what they're looking for. How do we increase our overall valuation? So you've got a team in a market that doesn't allow them to necessarily be the number one valued team. They're not the most valuable property in all of the NFL like the Cowboys are, right? They're instead, they're dealing with a quarterback that was a first-round draft pick that took a few years to get his footing under him and is now an MVP candidate for a team that is not necessarily at the top of the cash flow or top of the overall valuation meter. So when you put all of those pieces together, it's super easy for me to find precedent. Precedent is always key when you talk about these things. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. When you talk about precedent, it's about can anybody else say, yeah, but this is the way they did it. Now every team can go in and say, yeah, but this is the way they did it, which becomes really interesting when you talk specifically about Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is an MVP quarterback. You can't change that. You can't take anything away from that. Lamar Jackson has answered virtually every question you could ask to be answered. All right, as much doubt as there's been about his ability to actually throw the football, he's answered the questions about what he's capable of, right? So if you're going to say that Lamar Jackson is next up to get paid, man, I'm looking at his value and it's got to be higher than Josh Allen and lower than Patrick Mahomes. Like, this contract actually sort of sets the parameters for everybody. All right, it's going to be higher than Allen, less than Mahomes. I think it actually makes it easier. All of this clears out a path that makes it easier for Lamar Jackson to figure out what he should be paid. And that is a delight if you're a Ravens fan, as long as you're ready for the number. Again, I keep going back to it. That number, as obscene as it may feel to football fans that are sitting around there saying, well, I remember 10 years ago when quarterbacks couldn't make $20 million. Well, this is a new world. Economics have changed. I should remind you, the salary cap went down because of COVID-19. But the average value of NFL franchises in the same year that the salary cap went down went up by 14%. Why? New TV contracts provide cash and provide value to equity to these teams. So while we're sitting here saying, oh my God, $43 million, I'm going to look around and say, how much you think owners are making right now? Like, I always laugh about this from a betting standpoint. The Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz in for Max. When you think about betting, to me, when you see just an obscene amount, I told this story yesterday on Spain and Fitz, again, ESPN Radio. I told this story in Spain and Fitz, but I was on the road years ago in music, and we were on the same tour as Darius Rucker. And Darius is a big Madden player. So he sets up his green room, and he has a Xbox and a PlayStation. He'll play you in either. Whichever one you're good at, he'll beat you in either. That's where he is. Well, at that point in my life, I'd never lost a Madden game on the road. I was very cocky. And I walked in, and I said to I said to Darius, let's go. I'm going to take you on. And Darius says, perfect. My buy-in's 5K. Because he's not playing you in Madden unless you put $5,000 down like that. But that's because he's Darius. Like, Hootie and the Blowfish money, right? Like, you know, Darius, $5,000 is nothing. And I was like, I can't bet 5K on a Madden game. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go home. And he says, he's like, oh, you can go home and tell your wife, like, you made $5,000 beating me in Madden. I'm like, and she's going to say, you bet $5,000 on a video game? Like, what kind of idiot are you? Because I don't live in a spectrum where $5,000 is easy, right? Darius does. If you're looking at a contract of $150 million, then you got to ask yourself how much money these owners are pulling in, that $150 million is nothing. And if that's the spot that we've reached for Josh Allen, then guess what? That's the spot we've reached for really good quarterbacks. I didn't say great. I didn't say the dreaded Flacco word. I didn't say elite. I just said really good. And it's not hamstringing teams. It is not preventing people from winning games. Players are getting paid, and they're getting paid at epic levels, which I think, frankly, is great. Like, I don't know why anybody has a hard time with that. Like, guess what? Fun fact, if your favorite team's owner could not pay anybody, they're still not going to lower ticket prices. They're just going to keep that cash themselves, right? So what you've got here is Lamar Jackson and his team looking at it, and the Ravens looking at it saying, hey, the market's been set. The market's right there, and you're going to make more than Josh Allen and less than Mahomes. That seems like that's going to be the conversation. The trickier one to figure out is what to do when it comes to Baker Mayfield. Because Baker, I mean, you can look at the accomplishments of Baker and you can say, hey, I don't see how we can pay you more than Josh Allen. But if I'm Baker's team, now you're next man up. But next man up has a ceiling. That ceiling is Mahomes. It's simple. I'm sure they're going to break this down too today on Chiney and Golic Jr. They'll keep breaking it down. Don't forget to tune into them right after this. Before Spain and Fitz. I'm doing all the ESPN radio promos you could possibly ask for throughout the course of it. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Josh Allen getting paid through all of this is an amazing, amazing. Raj, you chiming in? Raj, what you got?
Yeah, just to give you a heads up, and the people, I know the people wanted to hear from our good friend Damian Woody, but he had a situation on the way, I guess, from the studio, which I'll tell you off the air, and hopefully he'll be able to join us, but he might be a little delayed, let's say.
Oh, well, Woody, be safe, buddy. That's all that matters. First and foremost, be safe. That's the most important thing.
Absence. Very excusable, by the way, which I'll tell you after the break here.
Well, now that there's so much suspense built, I don't even know where to go. Spain and Fitz, Spain and Fitz is a show at night. This is the Max Kellerman Show. I'm all over the place now, Raj. I'm falling apart. You know, the first hour felt good. The second hour just feels like it's all crumbling around me. Josh Allen, 6 years, $258 million extension, $43 million annually. Lamar is the easy one. Again, to go back to, Lamar's the easy one. Baker, I think there is sort of an element of patience. But you got to understand the risk you take when you're patient at the quarterback position. I mean, there's risk either way. But if you take the approach that Mike Tannenbaum said we should take when it comes to this, if you take the approach of, all right, we're going to just wait and see. We're going to let him play this year out, and then we're going to franchise him if we need to next year, or a fifth-year option next year, and then franchise him the year after. Every year, it's only going to get more expensive. If I'd have told you 3 years ago that Josh Allen was going to make $43 million a year, Twitter, you would have killed me. You would have crushed me. $43 million a year 3 years ago? Man, and now that's child's play. That's going rate. That's market value. Got to start looking at quarterbacks like we look at houses. You know, like you just got to understand that certain neighborhoods just constantly go up in value. Like it might be obscene how much a house costs in L.A., but that's just the way it's going to be. And if you're a quarterback in the NFL, man, this is just the way it's going to be. Josh Allen's bank account is in the zone. In the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I don't even know what you go. Like, how do you handle that? Like, I remember being, you know, multiple times in my life being broke enough that I had to sit down and look at my wife and say, hey, we're not paying the mortgage this month, so, you know, that's just not going to happen. I remember the first time I was, like, not afraid to go to an ATM. I can't imagine what it feels like when you press the balance. Like, I've said this a few times. Like, there were times that I would go to specific ATMs because I knew they wouldn't give me a receipt. And if they didn't give me a receipt, I wouldn't have to look at how little money I have in the bank. I can't imagine how many ATMs I'd go to in one day. If I'm at that point where I got $150 million in any account, I'm just checking that balance every 3 seconds. I mean, that's a level of rich. Good on him. I am so happy for Josh Allen. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in. The other big story in the NFL is obviously comes in the form of football that we got last night. The Steelers beat the Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game. Now, the most notable thing for a lot of us was that it felt like a little bit more normal in the process of it. It felt almost like we were actually getting a regular game. And Tomlin, Coach Mike Tomlin, talked about it afterwards. Just the feeling of fans in the stands.
I don't think any of us missed the fact that just having a stadium full of fans, what that does, the energy that the stands and the fans provided us, man, being without that largely for over a year was good to be back in that type of a football environment. We're appreciative of that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the nice parts of watching the game last night. One of the not so nice parts was watching two offenses that just looked bad. I mean, there's just not a nice way to say it. Like, again, as a preseason fan, like, I'm all in. I'm going to watch every single snap of every Raiders preseason game because I care too much. And I understand that Steelers fans and Cowboys fans were excited, but whew, if you were just watching casually, it became sort of a drinking game, the amount of just bad football you were watching, to which Mike McCarthy still said that there's value in.
Performance-wise, like I said, I was really focusing on the operation and the function. You know, I thought Rico, obviously Rico had the big run. You know, I thought DiNucci made some throws off his back foot that were, you know, unique. I'm frankly, it's a long plane flight home. I'm looking forward to watching the tape. I think there's going to be a lot of good coming out of this game.
I just keep thinking about living through a preseason game and then getting on a long flight home and you're like, you know what? I'm going to rewatch it right now. Like, I know coaches have to do that. I understand that. I'm not a complete moron, despite pop culture and the opinions on it. But I will say that the concept of going back and watching just a bad preseason game where you accomplished nothing and you lost just feels like that would be painful for every part of it. Now, that wasn't the thing we were most focused on through this preseason game, though. Obviously, whenever we talk about the Cowboys, part of it was about injuries overall, but a large part about it specifically, I think, is all eyes on Dak Prescott and where he is currently when it comes to his health. And that's something that he addressed during the game as he was asked about his shoulder.
We're being cautious. We're taking it day by day. Obviously, it's 5 weeks before season opener. So I've got a lot of time, and I'm going to use that time and get myself ready for that game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of a good answer that is, but at some point, that's a real answer. And there's no weight to it once we get to the regular season. I'm going to say it loud again. The number of times I've watched the Raiders be good in the preseason and then just absolutely horrid, the Jamarcus Russell 3-13 year really stands out. The year that Art Shell went out and hired a manager of a bed and breakfast to be his offensive coordinator. That is a true story. And the team was 4-0, I believe, in the preseason. And then I watched the single worst season of Raiders football I ever remember. There is no value to take out of the preseason. I'll say it loudly. There is no value. It's just fun to watch, right? There's no value in it. But you do find value in Dak getting reps. And I think it matters to me not so much because of preseason. It matters to me because of COVID last year. And I mean, when we look at draft classes, you know, right now, how often have you been a fan of a team and you see that their first-round pick gets hurt? And the next year, you use the phrase commonly, well, they're getting a bonus first-round pick right now. You know, we're getting back to first-round pick that didn't play last year. I feel that way about virtually every team in the NFL. Because there was so little continuity. There was no normal offseason. Practices weren't normal. Adjusting to be a professional in a COVID era. Moving to a city that you largely know nothing about. Like, there's human elements to last year that I think were particularly difficult for rookies. But I'll take that across an entire team when you're talking about the Cowboys and our new coaching staff. It's easy for me to look back and say, okay, if Jason Garrett was the problem, then Mike McCarthy was supposed to fix that problem. And if we believe he was fixing that problem, he was absolutely trying to fix it shorthanded last year. No doubt about it. It is easy to look at that from one side and then from the other side say, okay, so what do we expect this year? Well, I think, you know, having the opportunity to be around an offense, getting the opportunity to know it and study it, whether you're on the field or not, all of those things can make Dak better. But if that's the real logic we're going to give, then at some point he's still got to get some reps on the field. That's the concern I have. Same concern I have for Carson Wentz. Like, look, if Carson Wentz is only out 5 weeks, he's back, the Colts, no problem, in theory. But the other side of that is he'd be working in a new offense in some ways with new teammates around him, trying to figure out his rhythm and his timing with everybody else. I mean, there's still some value to that. And even if all of this Dak stuff only costs them one or two games, Washington. Man, Washington is a good football team. I'm sorry, Washington is a good football team. I know that nobody likes to root for the Washington football team right now, but that defense is absolutely spectacular. Their biggest hole last year was quarterback, and they've got one that they seem to think can get them through this season. Terry McLaurin was on Spain and Fitz last night. Great dude, great receiver. Also great promo by me. You know, you look across the board, Washington has talent. If you're the New York Football Giants, you feel pretty good coming into this year. There's no doubt about it. You feel pretty good coming into this season. My only point with this is that if Dak, being out with a shoulder injury, even costs the Cowboys one game, that one game of knocking the rust off, that one game could be enough to keep them out of the playoffs entirely. Don't forget, speaking of playoffs, the playoff season is intensifying across the landscape of Major League Baseball. Tune into an NL battle tomorrow night. The Brewers host the Giants. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of No Doubt, coming up, No Doubt, a Packer player says he's happy Aaron Rodgers is back. But is he? We'll answer that. But first, when it comes, what if you could put the same type of rigor? I'm going to learn how to read. That's what we're going to do first. We're just going to try all that again. What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Hopefully better than the Raiders did in that draft year. Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you, and you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. Such a wonderful, simple system. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. If only free agency in the NFL draft was that easy. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. All you got to do is use this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. We'll go through a bunch of great topics with No Doubt next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Did you really go with a... What are we doing here, Kyle? What are we doing? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And now we're playing. It's Christmas in August because football season's here. That's the way all couch says. What are we doing? Also on Sirius XM Channel 80. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm not mad at it, though, as it continues to play. It makes me realize how excited I am for Christmas. Guests join us on the Goodyear hotline. I will say quickly, Chris Young, new record out. That's why we're playing a bunch of Chris Young. So get out there, get it. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Max Kellerman. And now I will pause for the people to do the work.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No doubt.
All right, Raj.
I'm going to do it.
You ready for this? I was letting the muse go a little bit. All right, so you're going to give it. You're going to give me the question. I'm going to give you a no doubt or no diggity on it, and we'll see where it goes.
There you. Yes, here you go. All right, so the Lakers' big three now is as good as the Nets' big three.
No. Yeah, I mean, if you were playing like a video game version of it, heck yeah. But if you're playing actual basketball, no. I mean, at least the Nets' big three, A, we have proof of concept on some ability for them to all work together. But I still don't, as much as I want the big three for the Lakers to be great, I still don't understand how Russ actually accomplishes what they needed the most. Maybe some of the pieces around them accomplished, but this team is still just a big two. This is all about if AD and LeBron are healthy, then they're going to be the best team in the West. And if AD and LeBron aren't healthy, then they're not, no matter who else is around them. So I'm not giving the love to the big three there. I'm only giving the love to the big two.
All right, fair enough. Hey, you know I'm a big soccer fan.
Was that too hater, by the way? Were you good with that? Okay. Okay, Raj.
Right. Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm a Celtic fan. I don't care. I hope they lose. Hey, right. So you know I'm a big soccer fan, right? Mm-hmm. You know, shouts out 3252 and everybody. Now, I asked Max this, and he had no idea. So before all this coverage, you could name the team Messi played for.
Barcelona, right?
No doubt.
There you go.
Look, that's now, follow-up question that I'll give you. Have I ever watched a single second of Messi play soccer?
Oh, you missed out, bro. You missed out.
Yeah. I got to get into it. Like, I'm the first to admit, you know, so the other night I was doing Sports Nation, another shameless plug. Check out today's Sports Nation. I'm on it for UFC purposes. But a couple of nights ago, I show up a couple of nights ago, and I'm getting ready for Sports Nation, and they're like, all right, well, it's the soccer episode. And I looked around, I'm like, y'all want it? Like, maybe somebody could have told me earlier in the day that we're doing the soccer episode. Like, what do I know about soccer? Yeah. And they were like, just react to really good goals. And I'm like, okay, I added nothing to that show. Like, I'm used to adding nothing to that
nothing.
Show. I gave you an ooh and an ah and a, oh, that's really good. Like, all I did was make a Ted Lasso joke 16 times. That's it. Like, I haven't learned about that on Ted Lasso yet. That's all I got on soccer. I'm the first to admit it.
Ted Lasso, by the way, the curse, he was at LAFC's game on Wednesday, and they got beat 4-1. So Ted Lasso curse. My LA team got beat.
But you're a big LAFC team fan. They're owned partially by Will Ferrell, right?
Correct.
So have you gotten to hang out with Will Ferrell? Like, have you hung out with Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Can you get me an introduction to hang out with Will? Like, I just want to ride your coattails to hang out with Will Ferrell. Yes. He's like one of my favorites. Are you going to get an intro for me and Will Ferrell to hang out?
You come to LA, I know you're going to come. Here's what you do. You parlay a trip. You're going to come out and check your Raiders out, right? In their new home. You're going to do that this year. Then you take a little 45-minute flight over to my place, my area. We hit the LAFC game. We get you in with Will Ferrell, and he's as advertised. He's so funny off the air. He's like he's in character all the time.
Look, I've become texting buddies with my first concert musical icon, Richie Sambora. Like, Richie and I are buddies now, and he invited me to come out and stay at his place in L.A. So I'll just go stay with Richie Sambora and then hang with you with Will Ferrell, and I will blow up social media for like 3 days and be obnoxious where everybody will think that I'm cool.
Dang.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing
that. That's a road trip parlay. Hey, you believe Jordan Love when he says he's happy to have Aaron Rodgers back?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, he's happy because he knows as well as anybody he ain't ready to play. Like, he's looking around and he's like, no, I don't need the smoke right now. Like, I'm good. I will wait a second. You know, let me get another year. Like, I mean, at this point, there is zero pressure on Jordan Love every day. Like, he just comes in, does his thing, figures out how to be a pro, quietly goes about doing the work. If he's got to step on the field in that moment with that angst coming in, there'd be this constant, oh, my God, he's not good enough. What did you guys do? It stinks. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
I have talked to people in and around the contract who have seen it. I think this is a really...
I don't know why Tannenbaum's playing
It's a win-win
right now.
For
Okay, there we go.
He sounds great, though. It was from our show. He sounds great, knowledgeable. I love Tannenbaum.
By the way, if you missed that, that's Tannenbaum talking about the actual specifics of the Josh Allen contract, which you should check out on the podcast. Go ahead, Raj.
All right.
I know how to promo things. That's the one thing I'm good at here. I can promo the heck out of something.
You're good at that. I know another thing you're good at. You're good at the fiddle and the violin. So hear this music. Let me hear this. Hear this musical clue. That's right. So I'm going to ask you, Fitz. You told me a bit about your background. I've heard you talk about it on the fiddle and all. You could beat the devil down in Georgia.
Okay, there's a couple layers to this. Number one, song is incredibly flawed. Because the devil definitely beat Johnny. Like, the devil solo is so much cooler than Johnny solo. Like, Johnny solo's okay. The devil solo is like chaos. It's so good. The devil won in this song, which when I have covered this song before in my life, I always take the moment on mic to let everybody know. That being said, could I take down the devil? I mean, yeah. Charlie Daniels, amazing man, amazing guitar player. Was not a great fiddle. It's just like a little like secret here. Not a great fiddle player at all. Not a great fiddle player. He would tell you that, though, because he would like they'd hand him a $100 violin that was just like total trash that, you know, he just take the bow and just flop it on. Like it's really a delight to watch, but it's not the most precise stuff. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to be a fiddle snob for all a second. Right. Love you, Charlie. R.A.P.
I like the honesty. I like the honesty. Well, good job, Fitz. Good job.
Thank you very much. He is a legend. By the way, if you check out Spain and Fitz the other night, last night, we gave you a breakdown on the string section to Cisco's The Thong Song. You can only get that, Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Check it out on the podcast. I am all over this. The Sunday Night Baseball Preview brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. I don't know that we actually said much about Sunday Night Baseball, but you should check it out. You won't be able to go back to mediocre after this. Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. By the way, that phone does look absolutely spectacular. Coming up, who's winning the NFC? Who's winning the AFC? Fitz Blitz. I'm going to give you all of the answers you need to know, and we're going to do it next. But first, DoorDash is here. And with the summer, you've got the Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. If you're just sitting around on the couch and realize that maybe you shouldn't drive, Dash Pass, that's a way to do it. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free. Get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the new DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. There are no terms and conditions to the Fitz Blitz, which you will get next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Max. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I got a text from Chris Young a little bit ago asking why we were playing Silent Night on ESPN Radio. So I'm just saying, Chris Young, new record out today. Go check it out. Go stream it wherever you get your music. Go buy it. Go download it. Do whatever you do to consume music, especially in this environment when so many artists have had to take so much time off. It's important that we get out there and we support the creativity we love, because that's the only way anybody's going to get paid through any of this. All right. Speaking of getting paid, don't ever bet on my picks. I'm going to just be honest with you. And, some people would say it's too early. Some people would shy away from it. But, Raj, I'm not going to shy away from anything. It's time for Fitz Blitz. It's what we're going to do. We're going to go through. We're going to make some picks. We're going to get aggressive. And we're going to listen to this beautiful music, right?
And how original is it to do a football segment with this music behind you? You're creating new paths here, man.
And using something like Fitz Blitz, nobody would have ever thought of it. And by the way, I'm going to steal it and use it on social media this fall on Sundays. I'm going to do my Fitz Blitz. I'll credit you. I won't credit you, Raj, actually. I'm going to steal it completely and blatantly. So thank you so much for that. Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz filling in. All right, Raj, how do you want to do this?
I want to know who you got winning. We'll start in the West. Who do you got winning the AFC West?
Well, that's obviously the Raiders. I can't even joke that way. The West belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's not a statement about anybody else. I think that the West belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs because the Kansas City Chiefs are flat out better than everybody else. The Chargers are always a talented team, and that talented team is never healthy. And while they have a new coaching staff and they believe in what they're going to have there, I think until we see it from the Chargers, we give them way too much benefit of the doubt. So the Chargers Chargers are a fringe-type playoff team, but not a sure bet. My beloved Raiders will make the playoffs this year, because if I can't believe that now, then what the hell's the point of watching 17 games? So I'm going to buy in that the Raiders sneak their way in as the seventh seed, and the Broncos are going to be hot garbage because their quarterback's terrible. So I feel good about the Chiefs there.
All right, we'll go to the AFC North. Who you got coming out of that tough division?
Okay, so the AFC North is a tough one to predict because there are so many good teams in the AFC North. And I like how you did couch it as a, you know, a tough division to pick. I'm going to go Cleveland. I say Cleveland, and I'm back and forth. I mean, I don't know. Baltimore has a real shot at this. I just feel like as much as we keep talking about Baker and what he didn't accomplish 2 years ago, I still think a lot of that lies at the feet of Freddie Kitchens. The Browns as a roster are incredibly talented. I think they put it together. They take another little step forward. I think the Browns eke the division out over the Ravens. The Bengals are going to be much improved, and I'm all out on the Steelers. All out on Ben Roethlisberger at this point being able to play. I think the Steelers, I'm all out on Pittsburgh.
Yep, I think it's Big Ben's last stand. I agree with you on that one. Let's go to the South, man. AFC South. What
that
you
belongs
got?
To the Titans. And look, not because I lived in Nashville for a lot of years. People always think I'm a Titans homer because I lived in Nashville for a lot of years. Titans fans are obnoxious. I'm just going to say it out loud. Titans fans all think that they don't get enough love and they don't get enough credit and they deserve more credit. But then the minute their team stinks, they all disappear and stop talking about it. So, like, Titans fans are a handful to deal with. But I can't take anything away from this roster. I think we are sleeping, honestly, on the Titans. Their defense was atrocious last year. They think that signing Bud Dupree will help make that a little bit better. Their ability to get after the quarterback was hot garbage last year. But I think this is a big year for Mike Vrabel to show that his defensive roots can come through. The Titans win that division. The Colts are a playoff team in my mind. Even if Carson Wentz misses a month of the season, they're still a playoff team. The other two teams will be hot garbage.
All right, let's take it to the East, man. AFC East, what's going on?
This might be the easiest division to pick in the West. As much as I love Kansas City, Buffalo's going to run away with this thing. Buffalo is far and away better than everybody in the East. I think they're going to win hands down. The Dolphins, I still believe in Tua. Like, I still think Tua, I can't shake the Tua I watched in college. I think Tua is going to be able to get it done in Miami and be good. So Miami's a playoff caliber team. I'm not buying in on the Patriots, and the Jets are going to be hot garbage. Hot garbage is my word of the day.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. I like it. Hey, let's switch it to the NFC. What about the NFC West? We talked about the Rams earlier. Who do you got winning out?
Yeah, I got the Rams, and I think this might be the toughest division in all of football because Cardinals are going to be very good. I believe in the 49ers. I believe the 49ers are a Super Bowl caliber roster. And the Seahawks are always good. So this one's tough for me, but the Rams have so much superstar power. They have a quarterback in Stafford that we believe in and a coach in Sean McVay that if he can't get this offense on track, I think people should ask some real question marks about how much love and praise we're giving him. So when you look at it on paper, I think the Rams are the best team. I think they cut through. But the 49ers are definitely a playoff team. The Cardinals might be also.
Yeah, it's a tough division, man. Hey, let's go to the black and blue division, the NFC North.
Yeah, well, the NFC North, I'm going with an upset pick here. My co-host, Sarah Spain, lives in Chicago. I'm not dumb. I'm going to be on radio with her tonight. I'm not going to give her any fodder. The Bears are winning the division. Justin Fields is going to win that starting job day one. He's going to have a very good year in his rookie year. I still believe in the rest of this roster, and I do believe in Justin Fields. So I know everybody wants to be all in on the Packers. The Vikings are just, I mean, at this point, it's always chaos there. There's so many things to say and so little time to do it. This is really about the Packers, but I also think Aaron Rodgers had such a spectacular year last year. I think he could take a little step back, and let's see how that impacts it. The Bears going to win that division. Packers are a playoff caliber team.
All right, let's take it to the Dirty South. You got some love for Connor's Atlanta Falcons. What you doing?
Nope. Sorry, Connor. You know I love you, but this one's easy. It's the Bucs all the way, right? Like, there's no reason to think that they won't run it back unless, you know, Tom Brady decides midway through the year he's out. So I think that the Buccaneers clearly win this one.
All right, let's go to, of course, the NFC least in the East. Who you picking?
This might be the tougher division, as tough as the West to call. I'll take the Washington football team with a new quarterback that they believe in and a defense that is spectacular. I think Washington wins the East, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Washington, the Cowboys, and the Giants all make the playoffs. The Eagles will not, but wow. I think the East is going to take a big turnaround this year. How do you like that for hot takes?
I like that hot take. And the final hot take, who's in the Super Bowl and who wins?
Yeah, it's Rams-Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs win. I don't think you can lose the Super Bowl back-to-back with Patrick Mahomes. So I still think the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but they beat the Rams to get there. I feel like it's going to be the Rams or the 49ers representing the NFC. But, you know, there's always one twist and one turn, so we'll see how that plays out. Chiney and Golic Jr. are going to be coming up next. You don't want to miss them. And then, obviously, the highlight of all of ESPN Radio, Spain and Fitz from 7 to 9. Thanks for letting me fill in on Max.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.